Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 13 of the Playoff Push Podcast. Today is NFL recap for 2024, 2025, week five. It was a very interesting week. It wasn't the greatest week we've had all year, but it wasn't the worst either. There were a few games that I was in love with. I think these games went incredibly overall. There were a few duds, but overall, I think it was a great week. And even some great games for some losing teams. We'll get into that later. But let's get into our first game immediately. Of course, we're going to cover the games first, then we'll go into fantasy leaders. And this time we will actually check in on the division standings, like I meant to last episode. So we'll begin with the first game, the Thursday night football game. Buccaneers, Falcons. Despite Baker Mayfield going 19 for 24, 180 yards, three touchdowns, the Buccaneers fall to the Falcons 30 to 36 in overtime. Kirk Cousins goes 42 for 58 for 509 passing yards, four touchdowns, and one interception. The rushing game never really got underway for either team. Rashad White averaged 7.2 per carry, but that was really about it. Falcons had a total of 73 rushing yards. It was really spread out between the Buccaneers. Rashad had 72, Irving had 44, and Mayfield had 42. But they didn't score any rushing touchdowns. It was purely the Baker show through the air. Chris Godwin, five receptions, 64 yards. Evans, five receptions, 62 yards, and two touchdowns with three receptions from Cade Otton. The one pick on the Buccaneers defense was from veteran linebacker Lavonte David, who I'm a huge fan of, by the way. Sean Tucker had two kick returns for 86 yards, 43 yards average. But this was such an incredible game. Kirk Cousins, 500 yards. I mean, what can you really say about it? Drake London, 12 receptions, 154 yards, and a touchdown. Darnell Mooney, nine receptions, 105 yards, two touchdowns, 88 yards on seven receptions for Pitts. Kadarius Hodge, two receptions, 67 yards, and a touchdown. Ray-Ray McCloud had six receptions for 66 yards. Overall, a great game for this Falcons passing offense. There were five players who got over 50 receiving yards, and all of them had over 10 yards per reception. So this was a great game to lead off. Falcons win 36-30 in overtime. Heading into the second game, we got Jets Vikings at, I believe, 9:38 Eastern in London. This game was a disaster for both offenses. It was a defensive show as Aaron Rodgers went 29 for 54, 244 yards, two touchdowns, and three picks, including the third pick with seconds left on the clock, which was an absolute disaster of a throw. He was looking, I forget who he was throwing to, but he was looking for a back shoulder in the right side of the end zone. Rodgers totally underthrows it and throws it behind him, and it's picked off by Gilmore almost like he didn't see the ball coming and still picked it. Just a disaster to end the game on what could have been a game-winning drive for the Jets if Rodgers hadn't thrown that ball so bad. But Sam Darnold has a game where he finally falls back to earth. 14 for 31, 179 yards, and a pick. Neither rushing game was on either. A total of 36 rushing yards for the Jets and just probably about 100 for the Vikings. It was really spread out. Ty Chandler, 30 yards. Aaron Jones, 29 before he got taken out with an injury. Sam Darnold had 11. CJ Ham had 10 and a rushing touchdown. And Myles Gaskin had two carries for 2 yards. Nice to hear his name again, even though it wasn't too productive. Justin Jefferson, six receptions, 92 yards. Addison at three for 36. Johnny Munt had two for 31. But again, no real offense from either team. Three picks on the Vikings side. It was Gilmore, Bynum, and Mr. Andrew Van Ginkle, who had a pick six on the return. That was huge for the Vikings, giving them another score. And the Jets just couldn't overcome it. Garrett Wilson, 13 receptions, 101 yards, and a touchdown in the breakout game he finally needed. Conklin, six receptions, 55 yards. And Lazard, four receptions, 34 yards, and one touchdown, while the interception for the Jets was caught by Brandon Echols. So the Vikings win that one 23 to 17. Heading on to game three, Bears Panthers. Caleb finally shows what he can do. 20 for 29, 304 yards, and two touchdowns, along with a rushing touchdown from DeAndre Swift and two rushing touchdowns from Roschon Johnson. Just a great game for the Bears here on offense, dropping 20 in the second quarter, a total of 36 to 10 over the Panthers. Swift had 21 carries, 73 yards, and that rushing touchdown. Roshan Johnson, 10 carries, 25 yards, two touchdowns. So getting two touchdowns on 2.5 yards per carry is pretty impressive, I won't lie. But of course, I had to play DJ Moore as one of my receivers in fantasy. I was playing against him, I mean, and got absolutely crushed. My opponent could have dropped 190 if he had included Drake London and Brock Bowers in his lineup. But DJ Moore, 5 receptions, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns. No one else really did too great on the receivers. Swift had 2 receptions for 47, and Kmet had 3 receptions for 57. But, you know, DJ Moore had an incredible game. There was a pick. It was Kevin Byard on that Bears defense. I bet you didn't know he was a Bear. And that was really it. Chuba Hubbard, 13 carries, 97 yards, and a rushing touchdown. But Dalton never got things going in the passing game. And actually, Bryce Young came back in 4 for 7, 58 yards. Dalton was 18 for 28, 136 yards, and an interception. So the Bears come out on top in that one, 36-10. Caleb finally showing off what that number one overall pick can do. Then we had the Commanders and Browns. And based on fantasy scores, you would never think this game was scored this way at all. Commanders go to 4-1 with a 34-13 win over Cleveland. Deshaun Watson, 15 for 28, 125 yards, and a passing touchdown. And that was really all that happened on the offense. That touchdown was caught by Jordan Akins, but absolutely nothing from anyone else. Amari Cooper had 4 receptions for 60 yards, and that was the best performance in this game, which is kind of crazy to hear. Then we get to one of my candidates for rookie of the year. I still think it should go to Malik so far, but Daniels played pretty mediocre for his standards so far this year. 14 for 25, 238 yards, a touchdown and an interception through the air, as well as 11 carries for 82 yards on the ground. Austin Ekeler was the main rusher in this game, 6 carries, 67 yards. Robinson had 7 carries for 18 yards, but still had 2 touchdowns on the ground, while Jeremy McNichols, who seems to be a goal line back so far this year for the Commanders, 7 for 44 for a touchdown. So he's actually getting out of that goal line back role, as we saw last week, and heading more into what I assume to be a third down back, which is pretty interesting in that Commanders backfield. McLaurin, 4 receptions, 112 yards. Dammy Brown, 2 receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Just a pretty solid game for the Commanders' offense. Their rushing is getting better and better as the weeks go on, especially against the Cleveland defense, who most people consider to be one of the best in the league, if not the best. The one pick from Daniels did go to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but the Commanders do come out on top and advance to 4-1, 34-13. Heading to the next game, Dolphins-Patriots, absolute disaster of a game. I will not touch on this. Ramondre Stevenson, 12 carries, 89 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. There were no passing touchdowns in this game. The other rushing touchdown, this time for the Dolphins, was scored by fullback Alec Ingold. That tells you how this game won. I won't harp on it any longer. Absolute disaster. Dolphins do come out on top, though, 15-10. Then we get to our next game, Jaguars Colts, and what a stunner. Jacksonville gets their first win of the year, 37-34 over the Flacco-led Colts. Flacco, 33 for 44, 359 yards, and 3 touchdowns. What an incredible waiver wire pickup. I told a few of my friends to pick him up, and boy, did it help them. Just a great game for Flacco, and still does not come out on top. Trey Sermon led the backfield with Jonathan Taylor out. 10 carries, 38 yards, and a rushing touchdown. But the receivers were on point for Indianapolis. Alec Pierce, 3 receptions, 134 yards, doing what he does best with 44.7 yards per reception. 1 rushing touchdown. Josh Downs, 9 receptions, 69 yards. Adonai Mitchell, 4 receptions, 38. Pittman, 5 for 37 and a touchdown. Mo Alie-Cox, 2 for 37 and a touchdown. Great passing offense for the Colts in this game, but the Jags still do it behind Lawrence and Bigsby. Trevor Lawrence, 28 for 34, 371 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Tank Bigsby leads the backfield over Etienne, 13 carries, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's been putting up stellar numbers this year so far for a guy who not many people expected to do well entering the year. Brian Thomas finally had his breakout game. He's been leading the league in route win rate pretty consistently. Five receptions, 122 yards, and a touchdown through the air. Christian Kirk, four receptions for 88. Etienne had six receptions for 43, despite only having 17 yards on the ground this game. Gabe Davis, three for 38. And the other passing touchdown was to Brenton Strange out of Penn State, four receptions for 24 yards and that touchdown. Lawrence's one interception did go to Nick Cross on the Indianapolis defense, but Jacksonville gets their first win of the year, 37-34, in an absolutely amazing game. Then we get to Texans Bills, a revenge game of sorts for Stephon Diggs. And did he do anything with it? Yes, he did. Six receptions, 82 yards for Diggs, as Stroud goes 28 for 38, 331 yards, a touchdown, and a pick, while Cam Akers gets a rushing touchdown on the ground. Nico Collins, two receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown before getting taken out with an injury. And just an overall consistent game for the passing offense for Houston. Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz both getting involved. But the Bills finally had their off game. Allen was 9 for 30. I believe that would be somewhere around a 31% completion percentage, which is horrendous for a guy of Allen's caliber. 131 yards and a touchdown. Running back James Cook, 20 carries, 82 yards and a touchdown on the ground, as Keon Coleman had the one passing, had the one receiving touchdown, one reception, 49 yards, and said touchdown. This game was not great for this Bills defense, Bills offense. Wow, I keep slipping up. Terrell Bernard had the pick of Stroud, and the Bills just never got anything going until the end of the game, and even that wasn't enough. Texans come out on top, 23 to 20. Heading over to my game of the week, and if you had any other game as game of the week, you are wrong. Baltimore and Cincinnati. Baltimore on top, 41-38 in overtime. Absolute heartbreaker of a game for Cincinnati as the quarterbacks combined for nine passing touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, 26 for 42, 348 yards, four passing touchdowns, no picks. Zay Flowers had seven receptions, 111 yards. Charlie Kohler had three receptions, 64 yards, and a touchdown. Bateman had a touchdown. Isaiah Likely had two touchdowns on just 13 yards. And Derrick Henry still had the rushing game going, 15 carries, 92 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Lamar had 55 yards on the ground. And the Bengals somehow did just as good on offense. Burrow, 30 for 39, 392 yards, five passing touchdowns, and one pick. Ja'Marr Chase finally had his breakout game, as he was the other receiver I was facing in fantasy. It was Chase and Moore who both broke out and allowed my opponent to drop a nuke on me. But 10 receptions, 193 yards, and two touchdowns for Ja'Marr. Nine receptions, 83 yards, and two touchdowns for T. Higgins, as my boy Andre Josivas had one reception for 39 yards. The other touchdown was a receiving touchdown from running back Chase Brown, who had three receptions for 8 yards and that touchdown. The one pick from Burrow in this game was received by cornerback Marlon Humphrey, who's commonly regarded as one of the best corners in this league. But that was pretty much the ceiling factor. Baltimore comes out on top, 41 to 38 in overtime, and one of the best, if not the best, game of the year so far. Raiders and Broncos. This is a game where Gardner Minshew was benched. 12 for 17, 137 yards, one touchdown, two picks, as Aiden O'Connell came in with 10 for 20, 94 yards and a pick. Not much good stuff on this Raiders offense besides Brock Bowers. Eight receptions, 97 yards and a touchdown in the absence of Devontae Adams. Jacoby Myers, six receptions, 72 yards. And that was about it for the passing offense. Rushing, Amir Abdullah had the one rushing touchdown, five for 42. And that was really it from this Raiders offense. They were never able to get anything going, of course. Three picks is never enough to win a game. Bo Nix finally getting on fire. 19 for 27, 206 yards, and two touchdowns with no picks. He's been passing pretty well the last few games. One rushing touchdown from Mr. Nix himself, who had eight carries for 9 yards, so 1.1 average per carry, and still had the rushing touchdown. His two passing touchdowns were to Josh Reynolds and running back Jaleel McLaughlin, as Javonte Williams led the team in both rushing and receiving. So a great game from Williams there. the Broncos necessarily didn't necessarily have a great game either. Little Jordan Humphrey had 2 for 48, but that was really about it. Those three picks in this game, one of them was caught by Riley Moss. The other two were from Pat Surtain, who is commonly regarded as the best corner in the league. And one of them, I think only one of them, was a pick six. So the Broncos do come out on top in this one, 34 to 18 over the Las Vegas Raiders. Another really good game, Arizona San Fran. Arizona breaks San Fran 24-23. The Niners have a losing record 5 games into the year. They are 2-3. Kyler Murray didn't have too great of a game. 19 for 30, 195 yards, one passing touchdown, one pick. On the ground, he had 7 carries, 83 yards, and a rushing touchdown. James Conner only had 86 yards on the ground. Michael Wilson, 5 receptions, 78 yards. And that was really it. The one receiving touchdown was from Elijah Higgins. It was his only reception for 2 yards. And Brock Purdy just wasn't on his game. 19 for 35, 244 yards, one touchdown, two picks. Jordan Mason did absolutely nothing. Brandon Ayuk had 8 receptions for 147 yards, and Kittle had the touchdown, 8 receptions, 64 yards. Debo had 1 reception for 11 yards. That was it. He also had 9 rushing yards. Debo was absolutely shut down. 4 touches, a total of 20 yards. An absolute disaster there for the Niners offense when you can't get your wide receiver one involved. That one pick that Kyler threw was actually caught by Nick Bosa, which is hilarious to hear, as the two picks that Purdy threw were caught by Mack Wilson Sr. and Kaiser White. White, the former Raider. So Cardinals shock the Niners. Niners fall to 2-3. Then we get the Giants Seahawks, a game where Daniel Jones is starting to prove himself in year 6. 23 for 34, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. As Darius Slayton had 8 receptions, 122 yards, and a touchdown. Wan'Dale Robinson, 6 receptions, 36 yards, and a touchdown. I had such high hopes for Wan'Dale entering this year, and he's proven me right. A few bad drops, but overall, he's making some great catches and really showing himself off. And I'm loving every second of it. In the absence of running back Devin Singletary, Tyrone Tracy stepped up, another guy who I loved entering this year. 18 carries, 129 yards, averaging 7.2 yards per carry, which is huge. And just, I'm liking where this Giants team is going. I know that's not a good thing to say when we're still 2-3 and most people laugh at us. I love where this team is going. I think there's so much potential in this roster. We just have to tap into it. Never mind the fact we beat the Seahawks by 9, missing our wide receiver one and probable rookie of the year winner, which is ridiculous. We were able to hold off the Seahawks with DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Kenny Walker, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Noah Fant, Zach Charbonnet. We held them off, and I'm loving every single second of that game. It was incredible as Isaiah Simmons locked the game down with a blocked field goal in the fourth. 29-20 your final. Geno Smith only went 28 for 40, 284 yards and a touchdown. Not much going there. Jaxon Smith-Njigba did catch the one touchdown from Geno. And that was it. Giants win 29-20. And then we get to Packers Rams. The Packers come out on top 24-19. Most people didn't think it'd be that close, but it was. Jordan Love, 15 for 26, 224 yards, 2 touchdowns, and maybe one of the worst picks I've ever seen. Being rushed to the back of the end zone, he just chucks it and it's caught for a pick six. Just an absolute disaster of a play. If you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it was housed by Jalen McCollough. Just a disaster of a play for Jordan Love. But they still get the win. 15 for 26, 224 yards, and those 2 touchdowns really helping. Tucker Kraft, the tight end, caught both touchdowns, 4 receptions, 88 yards. Other than that, no one else really got anything going. Jaden Reed, 4 receptions, 78 yards, which isn't awful. Josh Jacobs finally had a rushing touchdown, 19 carries, 73 yards. And that was that for the Packers offense. Stafford, 29 for 45, 260 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. Kyren Williams had 22 carries, 102 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. As the one receiving touchdown was caught by wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, who's getting some snaps in the injuries of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So that's looking like how it's going. The Packers defense caught the pick, and it was my boy Xavier McKinney. So McKinney and McCullough come out with the two picks in this game, one of each quarterback. Packers win 24-19. On to our second to last game of the day, Dallas, Pittsburgh, ending what is the longest day in NFL history. Game started 9:30 Eastern, didn't end till 1 o'clock a.m. the next day. So 15 and a half consecutive hours of football as Dak Prescott led the charge somehow. 29 for 42, 352 yards, two touchdowns, two picks in a 20-17 win over Pittsburgh. Those two receiving touchdowns were from Jalen Tolbert and Rico Dowdle. Tolbert, 7 receptions, 87 yards, and the touchdown. Jake Ferguson, 6 receptions, 70 yards. CeeDee Lamb was held pretty well, 5 receptions, 62 yards. And that was that for the Dallas offense. But unfortunately, despite Justin Fields having two touchdowns and no picks on 15 for 27, 131 yards, weren't able to make it happen. Connor Hayward and Pat Freiermuth caught the two touchdowns from Fields. Just was not enough. Despite Joey Porter and Dante Jackson getting picks from Dak, they just couldn't get it going enough as they only scored 14 of their 17 points in the second half. And Dallas came back with a 14-point fourth quarter. Again, a 20-17 victory in probably what I assume be the latest game in NFL history. And we are currently still in the Monday night game, Saints Chiefs. Chiefs are currently up 16-7 with 10 minutes left in the third. Mahomes is 20 for 30, 230 passing yards. The one touchdown was scored by Kareem Hunt on the ground. Yeah, it's nice to hear that name again. 16 carries, 65 yards, and the rushing touchdown. Kelce finally getting some catches, 8 receptions, 67 yards. Juju Smith-Schuster, 5 receptions, 67 yards. And that's really about it for the Chiefs offense so far. Derek Carr, 9 for 14, 85 yards, one touchdown, one pick. He's only thrown the ball to Olave once, one reception, 4 yards. Kamara has done nothing, 6 carries, 18 yards, along with two receptions for 7 yards. And Rashid Shaheed's the one guy that's getting something going, two receptions, 58 yards, and a touchdown through the air. This Saints offense getting absolutely shut down as the one pick from the Chiefs defense was caught by Brian Cook. I assume the Chiefs will win this game, but only time will tell as you're seeing this the next morning. Heading over to division standings before the ending of this Chiefs game, Bills are on top of the AFC East, followed by the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots in last. AFC West is still the Chiefs at 4-0, probably 5-0, I assume, followed by the Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders are in last place. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are tied for first in the AFC North, both at 3-2. While Cleveland and Cincinnati are both 1-4, despite the Bengals only allowing 5 more points than they've scored, still 1-4. Texans leading the AFC South 4-1. Colts are 2-3. Titans are 1-3, and the Jags are 1-4. So the AFC South, besides the Texans, are not looking too hot. Funny enough, the Commanders on top of the NFC East 4-1 record. Dallas at 3-2. Eagles at 2-2. Giants at 2-3. So still between the Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants, it's still pretty close. So this, I assume the Eagles will jump Dallas once they get Brown and Smith back, which I believe is this upcoming week. And again, I have so much faith in the Giants. Do I think they'll do anything? No. But do I hope they'll do something? Yes, because all the talent I think is right there, especially since we lead the league in sacks, I believe, with 22. NFC West, Seahawks are in first place, 3-2. Followed by the Cardinals and Niners tied at 2-3, and the Rams in last at 1-4 due to massive injuries in their receiver core. Higbee, I believe, is out for the year, along with injuries to Kupp and Nacua. They really haven't been able to get any great players going in the passing offense and really relying on, DeMarcus Robinson and those guys. Vikings are still 5-0 on top of the NFC North. Lions 3-1, Bears 3-2, Packers 3-2. I believe this is the only division in the league where every single team has a winning record. So again, just a really good division this year. All of them have more points scored than they've allowed by at least a good margin of, I believe, like 20 points. 20 for the Packers. It is somewhere around 25 for the Bears, 22 for the Lions, and around 60 for the Vikings. So yeah, they all have 20 or more points scored than allowed. So that's great looking for the NFC North. NFC South, Falcons and Bucks are tied for the one spot, 3-2 each. Saints are 2-2, and Panthers are 1-4. I think it'll be a tight race between the Falcons and the Bucks, as you saw in the overtime of the game this week. Both teams are great, and it just comes down to who can do better down the wire. Can Drake London hold it up, or can Chris Godwin and Mike Evans? Only time will tell. We will see. Finishing up today with the fantasy leaders for the week, we will put the threshold at 25 fantasy points. Sorry, Tucker Kraft. Tank Bigsby is up first, 25.9. Darius Slayton, 26.2. Joe Flacco, 26.56. DJ Moore, 27.5. Garrett Wilson, 29.1. T. Higgins, 29.3. Darnell Mooney, 31.5. Drake London, 33.4. Lamar Jackson, 33.42. Joe Burrow, 33.78. Kirk Cousins, 34.36. And the number one slot goes to Ja'Marr Chase with his 41.3 fantasy points. That's how week five looked in the NFL. And what a week it was. We got a lot of great games, and the Eagles did not play this week, and neither did the Titans or the Chargers. And I'm blanking on the fourth team that had the bye. But it is what it is. Great week here from the NFL. We have an amazing episode dropping Wednesday, the 9th. So you guys will hopefully see that tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day of release. I thank all of you for listening to this episode once again. Thank you for all the support. Please remember to leave a good review if you enjoyed. Share it around. I'm trying to get my message of my love for sports out as far as I possibly can. And thank you guys for listening. Have a great rest of your day.